Airbnb and other short-term rental companies should have an extra cost option when booking a place, a repair fee in the event of bullet holes. We're starting to see a trend develop, and it's not a good one. Someone rents a home for a night, holds a party, it's attended by street gang members, and what do you know? There's a gun battle. York Regional Police out with more details about two shootings yesterday. There's security camera footage involving the first one around 2:30 in Vaughan. You can watch that video on our website. Those bullets fired in a residential neighborhood near Major Mac and McNaughton East. Actually, there were two volleys. You can see three suspects in the video, more than 20 shell casings found on the scene. Bullets fired in both the front and back yards. Two men, 24-year-old, 22. You see, police arrive, they don't find anyone. Of course, everyone's gone. But then two men, 24-year-old, 22-year-old, turn up at a hospital a brief time later. They have bullet wounds. They're going to survive. Nothing about any charges against them, though. Police say this involved a party at a short-term rental property. It's a trend we're seeing. A second incident around 3 in Markham. Very similar. Bullets were fired at a vehicle in a residential area near Highway 7 and 9th Line. Single bullet also hit a home. No injuries in this case. And get this, police think it may have happened during a party at a short-term rental property. Are they connected?
Now, these incidents don't appear to be connected at all, other than just the fact that they were both parties at short-term rentals and both happening at the same time.
We asked police how the short-term rental aspect makes things more difficult for them.
In a case like this, oftentimes people, you know, aren't from that area and are attending specifically for, you know, a party. So it's harder for us to track down those witnesses or people who, you know, might have information that can help. So it's definitely, you know, a concern for our investigators.
What kills me is what we've seen so often, like even Eaton Center. Mm-hmm. It's. I mean, there's different aspects. When you see most of the shootings, we've seen some that involve mob warfare and whatnot, but they sort of have that code that you don't kill any bystanders. You know,
yep.
you keep it to the individual, the target. But what we see with street gangs is complete disregard for human life, just firing wildly. I mean, we're talking about a neighborhood here, children sleeping in their bedrooms, yep, at the front of these homes. And I ask the question, I don't know whether this is any solution. Is it time to go after Airbnb?
Well, I want to ask the question, where were people having parties beforehand?
Well, I guess in their neighborhoods or at their own homes.
Yeah.
I mean, because this is a relatively new thing. We've seen a number of these examples. Now, the most famous one that jumps out for me was maybe the first one. As you remember, it was down here on Blue Jays Way. It was in the apartment building in the hallway. There had been some sort of gathering. They had rented the condo,
right,
overnight, and they just started shooting in the hallway. That was one of the first ones that comes to mind. But we've had others in the past as well that it just seems to be the trend. Rent a house. I don't know who's putting up their name or how they're doing this.
Yeah, that's the part I'm curious about. It could not be that difficult to do a check on who the person was that rented the house and have that person talk, because you've got to put it down on a credit card, right? I mean,
stolen credit card?
Maybe.
Well, maybe. Fake,
I mean,
names?
Fake,
I don't
identity.
Know.
Yeah,
that's
something.
That seems a rather elaborate.
I don't think you're. I don't think you're drawing straws for that one.
No, and
you know,
and maybe this is more of a trend than we realize. Maybe this is going on every weekend to the tune of dozens of parties across the GTA, and with the expectation that you're just inviting your friends and whatnot, but it's just that one that suddenly goes south, and you have gunfire outside, and then it draws the attention.
Well, there's as many guns on the streets as we're told there are. Then everybody's got them, and then there's going to be, you know, different factions will show up.
But this is crazy.
Yeah,
just,
and I mean, the intention of the people that are running the party isn't likely to have a couple people show up with guns and start shooting
each
other. They're just trying to have a good time.
But invariably, it always turns out that someone shows up. Did you watch the video yet?
Have you seen it? Yeah, it's nuts.
I mean, this is just a regular subdivision. I don't know where I think it was acceptable, an industrial area. I don't know. Anywhere, it's unacceptable. But it's just that image of just firing wildly and in the front and the backyard. And here we are again.
Used to be that, you know, the back door window would get broken. That'd be about the end of it. Someone kicked in your garage door. You got a house party. You know,
someone
kind of
stole your parents' booze.
Someone's exactly.
Oh, yeah, punch a hole in the wall,
broke,
right?
Broke your mom's decanter.
What's going on with the OPP?
Well, next time the OPP sends out a news release with no name, we'll have to call the accused a person or a suspect or the accused, because the provincial police say they will no longer release the gender of people who are charged with crimes. Spokesperson, not spokesman or spokeswoman, says that during a recent review of legislation, the force found that the Police Services Act actually does not require that information be made public. Now, the OPP has proactively decided to stop releasing gender information in light of a broader societal shift on the issue. It notes driver's licenses, other ID no longer required to list gender. Data on gender will still be collected, of course. Name, age, and hometown must be made public. I don't know if that always happens. I'm going to keep an eye out for that now. Provincial police are being trained on the revised policy, and they say some slip-ups might occur during the transition.
I'm okay with this.
I am, too. Years and years and years ago, we went away from spokesperson. I mean, I don't even use chairman anymore. It's, you know, the chairperson.
I also, and maybe you disagree, I'm not sure. What's the relevance of telling me if somebody was charged with a drunk driving incident, if it's a man or a woman? I don't care.
Yeah, you can figure it out 90% of the
right.
time. It's yes, the person's
still
name
using
Susan.
The person's name.
Yeah, yeah. Unless it's you know Sue, my boy named Sue. But
Pat,
are you surprised that more jurisdictions haven't done this? Because it's just the OPP, right? Toronto Police doesn't have this policy.
No. Different policies they've come out. I remember there was one a couple of years ago, where they started to deal with race. They didn't want to say what color the individual yeah. was, which made no sense to us, because if you're asking us to help you find a suspect, we need to know whether they're mm-hmm. white or black or whatever it may be. But this is the first time I've heard this, but I can understand why they proactively decided this, because that really is the direction it's headed in.
My favorite story today, the vaccinators.
Oh, yeah, as expected, things got a little heated today. Some upset parents came out for the Board of Health meeting in Toronto.
Vaccination is voluntary in Canada and is simple. No thank you is all that is required. I always tell my kids to say no to drugs, because we all have the freedom to refuse to have our skin broken, our bodies assaulted with an injection against our will.
Last week, we told you the Chief Medical Officer of Health wants the province to make vaccinations mandatory for all school children. That includes removing exemptions involving religion or whether you've watched too much YouTube and you think the government's trying to sterilize your kids. The board has voted to request the government make this change. That's how they voted today, so the request is going in. Some parents say if it happens, they'll have no choice but to homeschool their kids. But you know what? That'll help control the class sizes, so it's a win-win.
It's fantastic. Stay out of the system.
I don't know. I don't know that I'd see the province going for this.
What, waiving the exemptions?
Yeah.
Oh, I think they...
You think they will?
Yeah, I think they could fall in line with that. Yeah. It seems like an easy one.
It's just, I don't know. I'm interested to see how it plays out.
I'm already getting tons of emails from people who are in the anti-vax movement saying, you shouldn't be joking about this, and you should do your research, and you're ignorant of the facts. And of course, every email has links to studies and reports and research that was written by... Yeah. You know,
Scientologists?
Yeah, well, no, just people that have, you know.
People on YouTube.
On YouTube and what have you. It's just, come on. Like, we know these things are safe. We know they're effective. Get with the program or get out of the system. It's straightforward.
Untold number of lives have been saved by vaccines. Do we really have to explain this?
That lady was angry, was she not?
Oh, she was.
Wow.
She was, there was a lot. Apparently, like, it was pretty much full. And yeah, there were a lot of upset.
There was overflow. So there was like
we kind of knew this was coming, though. You know, it's you knew once they announced no more exemptions, and well, you'll homeschool then.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. You don't get access to the healthcare system. You don't get access to the school system. Figure it out. If you're that passionate about it, it should be easy, no?
I would think so.
Yeah, but not that easy. The emails will keep coming. This was an interesting proposal.
Yeah. Starting today, TCHC can turn away prospective tenants who have been evicted from community housing before for serious criminal behavior. Provincial government changing the rules at the request of the city. The city sent out a letter. You know, we always talk about the mayor's letter-writing campaigns. This one worked. He sent out a letter. It responded well.
And feather pen.
Yeah, I imagine him with sort of,
the
quill and the the ink. Dear sir. So they made the request. The province has followed through. In the past, people evicted for drug trafficking, assault, vandalism, some serious crimes, they actually would just reapply to live in the same building. And often they would just get back in. Mayor Tory says, well, that all changes now.
These changes will now allow TCHC to say to people who have already been evicted for serious criminal behavior, no, you are not coming back to terrorize the good people who live in the building where you once lived and from which you were evicted. No longer will these people be able to take advantage of this vital public service and make life less safe for others.
He says in the past, TCHC residents have indicated its safety. We talk often about how the buildings are crumbling and there's all these issues. It's actually safety they talk about the most. And this is one of these issues, because someone, a drug trafficker, just gets back in the same building and starts dealing drugs again.
Do you have the same concern or question I have? Listen, I think that this is a good fundamental idea, but I do have questions as to where these people go next and whether or not they become better criminals as a result, right? Because if you've got somebody that's a drug trafficker, let's say, you kick them out of the TCHC, the community housing, they have to have a place to live. So where is that place?
My initial response would be tough. Fix your life. You shouldn't have been doing drugs.
I get that, but then that means that person is going to sell more drugs to try to pay rent.
Yeah, to some extent. But I understand many of these people in these community housing, they feel almost hostages. You know, they can't talk because if they talk and it gets back to them, one of their family members ends up getting gunned down. So there was also talk about, what about a time frame? So one of the reporters had asked, at what time, why just say arbitrarily it's you did this, maybe after 5 years, if you've cleaned up your life, you're no longer a drug dealer, you have a decent job, you should be able to get back in. But what they're saying is they're going to leave it up for these individuals who work within the system. That'll be on someone else to decide. They'll have a choice to say, yeah, maybe we can grant you an exemption. After a certain period, you can get back in.
Also, who makes the call to these criminals to say, we're going
to
evict you?
Yeah,
I'd love to know the answer to that. Like, do you have to come on up and say, like, hey, did the cops do that? I'm not sure.
You knock on the door. Oh, yeah. I see you got your Uzi there. Anyways, you're going to be evicted.
You want to pack your things?
Yeah.
Make sure you get all your bullets and what have you. Like, I mean,
please.
How does that work?
I don't want to be
I'm
that
fascinated
guy.
By that. And I would guess you'd have to have a police officer or some sort of officer of the state that's going to come and do that.
Yeah, with that history.
What is this story? This is just disturbing, no?
Well, we're trying to get answers. There really haven't been a lot today. So a superintendent at an apartment building was moving a garbage bin this morning. He notices something inside. Oh, it's a leg. The question is it attached to a body? Police haven't said yet, but the Forensics Identification Services Unit, it has been on the scene all day. Now, this building's located in the Young and 401 neighborhood. Police say it could not have been there very long because this bin, it's obviously emptied on a regular basis. Now, nothing about the victim, the cause of death, that sort of stuff, but they are treating it as suspicious. We haven't even, there was a lot of confusion in the beginning because we finally called up and said, is it a body or is it body parts? Is it, they keep describing it as human remains. I really still don't even have that answer to say because that changes it. Let's say it's a body of a man. Well, you could see a scenario where it was misadventure. Maybe he's, you know, someone who's inebriated or whatnot, or dealing with a chute, trying to push something down, falls and goes down the chute. It's not impossible to see that. But if it's body parts, that's when you get more into that idea of something nefarious where someone was trying to dispose of a body within
the building.
I never
even thought of that. That's interesting.
Yeah, and I still don't know. Maybe it's come out somewhere else, but we just couldn't find any information beyond whether was it just a leg, which is gruesome as heck, not that a body's any better, or was it a body of an individual?
Yeah, and imagine being the building superintendent out there just moving some garbage around, and that's what you discover. Like, that's got to be terrifying.
What's that? What's that in the corner?
Right?
Oh,
that is just terrifying stuff.
Yeah. Well, so we'll wait for answers. They've been out there all day.
We're going to come back. We got lots more to come with Dave McKee and his views on the news, including some news about Amazon that you're going to want to hear about. That's coming up in just a matter of moments, I promise.
6:15.
Ryan and Jay here with you on The Rush. Dave McKee is here with his views on the news. Cannabis back in the news.
Yeah,
a day goes by.
Well, the Cannabis Act allows you to grow up to 4 marijuana plants per household, but those big, beautiful buds growing in your backyard may draw the attention of thieves. And we actually speculated about this before the legalization. Turns out it has come to fruition. Get it, fruition? It did in Ottawa over the week, or should I say Oshawa over the weekend. It was about 4 in the morning, Saturday. A guy notices the motion light is on his backyard. He goes outside. There he finds two guys. They're stealing his cannabis plants. So he confronts them. They stab him multiple times. Still stole the plants. The injuries are serious. He's going to pull through. Durham police, not sure if this is a trend, but basically it tells if you leave something valuable outside.
It's like anything else. If you leave any property outside, whether it's a bike or anything of value, I mean, there is a possibility that it may get stolen. In this case here, it happens to be the marijuana plants.
And, of course, the dried marijuana they produce can be worth thousands of dollars, so there's really the big haul of it all.
How did they know?
Well, I was wondering that, too, but imagine if you had a backyard. I mean, how tall can they grow? I think they can do up to, like, 10 feet or something.
Ooh,
like
a beanstalk.
Well, I think they can grow quite tall, so I guess there's an aspect of, was he talking to his neighbors? So then my first question would be, check with all the neighbors, see if they were in on it.
Yeah, exactly what I was thinking.
My second would be, could you see it above a fence? Let's say it was an area, you know, one of those corner units where everybody's walking by, and they're like, oh, that's pot there. And it's funny, you take the timing of it. If you plot it, planted marijuana, let's say in the spring, I think it can be up to 20 weeks, right? So you're talking right there about 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
This would be about the time it would be in full bloom. The buds would be ready to go. I don't know.
Some good recon.
In full bloom.
I don't even know.
Honey, our pot plants look lovely. It's almost time to pick.
But you see, you know, it is worth. I was trying to look up and find value on marijuana plants, and it really did vary because it's also how much is it selling for? You have to dry it out. You know, there's all that different aspects. How much is the yield? Some talked about pounds, you know, 4 pounds of pot, 5 pounds of pot from one plant.
Wow.
Which I got to grow myself a marijuana plant.
Try at least one.
Yeah.
What, on his balcony?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's true.
If they get by the concierge, it's free game.
What's going on with Amazon?
Oh, get your resume freshened up. You, Ryan, you want a new job? We send it off to Amazon, the online powerhouse. It's opening a new fulfillment center, 1 million square feet, and it's going to be opened up in Scarborough. It's going to create 600 full-time jobs. The company's 7th fulfillment center here in Ontario, and it says the company will better serve customers in the region now. Full-time employees receive competitive hourly wages, including medical, vision, dental, a group RRSP plan, stock awards, and performance-based bonuses starting on day one.
That's going to be great.
Heck, if you're looking for a job, is it?
Absolutely.
It's not, is it good? It's as good as anywhere else as far as if this sort of job you're looking for. 600 of them.
And I was surprised we have 7 of these in Ontario.
I know 7. You sort of feel like, oh, is this the first or second? No, they're expanding.
There's 7.
I mean, everybody I know shops from Amazon.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, that's a lot of fulfillment centers.
Yeah.
Which sound fantastic, by the way. Where are you going? I'm going to the fulfillment center.
Ooh,
oh, lovely. Right. What is this drunk driver story?
Yeah, we can do this quick, but it was, you know, there's 4 people. I can already see the ceremony. They'll call them out to the police station, give them one of those plaques. You know, 4 people basically saved the life of what apparently was a drunk driver on Saturday. It's around midnight. It was north of Uxbridge. An adult, 3 teens, they're driving along the roadway. There they see a car on fire off the side of the road. Driver's unconscious behind the wheel. So they all work together. They pull this 81-year-old man out of the vehicle, and that's just before it's engulfed in flames.
Jeez.
He wasn't injured, and he refused to provide a breath sample. So police charged him with that very thing. So it appears that he was driving drunk. But as I said, at least those 4 stepped up and saved his life.
81 years old.
81. Yikes. 81 was around midnight on Saturday, and it looks like he was intoxicated.
Yeah. Maybe he was like, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he's going for.
Yeah, true.
Just in time for Halloween, some bats in the news.
Yeah, remember we did the bat story before? So now we have the update. Toronto Public Health has confirmed a bat found in the city tested positive for rabies. First confirmed case since 2016 in Toronto. Now, rabies can lead to death of this vampire. If the vampire bat bites you, yeah, you can die. That's the most extreme scenario. Transmission is rare, though. Estimated that only 2 to 3% of Ontario's bat population is actually infected. Toronto Public Health advises that residents should avoid physical contact with all bats. You don't have to tell me twice. Those weirdos who may have had physical contact with a bat, they're so cute, should see a healthcare provider immediately.
Do you feel like most bat interactions are accidental?
Yes.
Okay, I went up to the attic and I was like, It's in my hair! As opposed to like, oh, that's pretty cute.
It's pretty much a standard response, right? Every time a bat is spotted in the backyard, even in the summer months, it's coming from the trees or whatnot, or your attic. Everybody just screams and runs.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same reaction. I mean, we shouldn't laugh. Do we know where this bat was?
No, I'm trying to remember. I was thinking as I was reading it where that story was. I feel like it was Mississauga. No, remember it was out west because I remember some fellows wrote us and said, "Oh, that's in my neighborhood." I think it was west of the city. I want to say West End. I might be wrong.
This is a big story.
Yeah, this is huge. Certainly in the UK. So families stranded, honeymoons, vacations, they're canceled now. Thousands of workers have been laid off. That's the sudden collapse of British tour company Thomas Cook and its network of airlines and hotels. Chaos for hundreds of thousands of travelers and businesses around the world. Now, the company was toppled by a variety of factors. This includes the usual stuff, crushing debt and online competition. 178 years old, this travel agency helped pioneer the package tour. Now, it ceased operating in the middle of the night. Its 4 airlines stopped carrying customers. 21,000 employees in 16 countries have lost their jobs. Overall, 600,000 people were traveling with Thomas Cook as of Sunday. There's no indications how many of them actually still found their way home. Maybe the flights still took off and traveled them. But the British government, it's lining up flights right now to bring an estimated 150,000 customers back home. As far as an impact here, the only thing I could find was the talk of Air Transat. It actually borrows planes during the winter months from the company and had a whole deal set up. They exchange planes 6 months a year, something like this. So that's the only impact
I
could see.
Can I just have a show of hands in the room? How many of you have used a travel agent? Okay, everybody's hands are down. That's what I thought. That's just, I'll be honest, I heard this story this morning and I feel for the people who are out of work in it, but It's like, that's such an old schooly thing, is it not?
I have a friend that's a corporate travel agent, and she works pretty steady, but it's, you know, it's
that's
corporate.
Different, though. Yeah.
She'll do, like, some trips we've done before together because she's a buddy. But, yeah, corporates are still pretty big, but I don't think the everybody packages their own now.
Right. You either do it online through one of the million apps out there, or you use your points and your rewards points, so you're doing it anyway.
I've had people swear by it, though, that they say when they do go back to using them, they do plan it out to a better degree than you could do on your own.
Well, they have a better idea of what it is you can go and do and where to go and eat. And that's the whole sell anyway, right?
Yeah, I just think the internet is one of those things where you can probably find out a lot of information.
True.
I'm not trying to put travel agents out of work.
Vegas is Vegas, Ryan. Yeah. Ryan Doyle.
It's a great restaurant.
I booked my own trip.
If you're ever in Vegas, go to Bazaar Meats. Bazaar.
Is it like one of those skewer places?
No, the chef's name.
I think it's pronounced Brazil.
Jose.
It's a Brazil steakhouse.
Jose Andros. It's a fantastic place. That's my one recommendation for people if they go to Vegas.
All right.
You could also go to the Golden Steer. It's an old school steakhouse. It's quite good.
I have been there.
The Golden Steer?
Yeah.
In the strip mall out there?
Yeah.
You love the Golden Steer.
Oh, yeah, I did, actually.
They
I love the
Jubilee
old part of town.
And they make their own Caesar salad right there.
Right at the table.
Old school.
Ah, yeah. The eggs and
fantastic.
The oil.
Yeah.
Morty's been there for 65 years.
Sinatra used to, anyway.
Thanks, guys.
Dave McKee, always with pleasure with his views on the news.
When we come back, why you have stolen one young woman. Let me try that again. When we come back.
What was that?
When we come back, why you have stolen one young woman's dreams. Worth the wait, I know. That when the rush continues.